Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I'm saying? The same exact... Actually, I think it's worse than what it was with Tom Thibodeau. A slow start for the Knicks, at least on the road here, BC.
Yeah, it's been a slow start. Listen, I think it's nuts to go nuts after four games here. And I'll grant you this. Obviously, a lot of discussions you and I had when they decided to move on from Tom Thibodeau for Mike Brown. I do think if Tom Thibodeau's coaching this team this year, they're probably 3-1, maybe even 4-0. I'll grant you that. I'm not even looking to push back there because I just think that there's more of an urgency during the regular season with Tom, and that results in some more wins. That's not my concern. My concern is the guy who is supposed to be running shotgun with Jalen Brunson to win a championship, he's just not it, man. And I promise you, I have thought about this for a long time. This is not a hot take. This is not firing open the mic and just trying to harpoon a guy. But Karl Anthony Towns, he's a problem. He's never going to be that guy. He never was that guy. He didn't do a damn thing to change his body. He is soft. He is slow. He is sloppy. And I also know, Sal, there's going to be nights where he puts in 40 and, 13 rebounds. And I also know that he's not fully healthy right now. The quad is not quite good. And I do believe that he's a little bit compromised with that. But the ceiling for the Knicks it's not a championship with Karl Anthony Towns running shotgun next to Brunson.
Okay, so my question to you, though, would be, did you think that would, what made you think that was going to be any different from what we saw a year ago?
Well, it wasn't, because when we talked about this going into the season, right, I didn't think they'd win the championship. Right. I told you that. We agreed on that. I remember I said...
No, but forget about the championship. Yeah. I'm talking about Towns.
Well, I guess it was my hope that he would take this offseason,
right,
and change his body and understand, hey, I was in the Eastern Conference Finals. I've got a team that could win a championship. I'm getting floated out there with rumors for, be traded for Giannis. And maybe take it personally and take it seriously and just take that next step physically and emotionally. He's just not that guy.
All right, but what was the other big thing that they did?
Well, I mean, obviously you change coaches here. It's not a finished product, though. You're going to have an early laugh now. No, I get it.
It's not even an early laugh. The big knock on Tibbs was that, and even I said this as a Tibbs supporter, was that he didn't maximize Karl Anthony Towns' offensive game. If you watch the Knicks play under Mike Clown so far, Mike Clown.
No, we're going with Mike Clown four games in.
He's a clown, dude.
Mike Clown.
He's a clown. He's got no control of the team whatsoever.
All right, go ahead. Mike Clown.
That's what he is. He's a guy that wants to be loved by the players and the media and joke around with the fans. He's not a real head coach. He's a clown. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but his name rhymes with clown, and I think he coaches like a clown. Therefore, to me, he's Mike Clown. Does the offense look any different to you? Because at times, maybe... there's ball movement.
It looks worse, actually.
Okay.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
And then at other times, the majority of times, like in the second half last night,
yep,
it's ISO ball, it's Brunson being the hero, it's Karl Anthony Towns again, out of control, trying to get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the Knicks can't shoot, they're not good enough shooters. They are a mess. So I'm not disagreeing with Karl Anthony Towns being the, they're just not, we talked about this before the season.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope, they're not going to win with him being their second best guy. The hope was that at least Mike Clown could maximize what Towns can do offensively in a way that Tibbs couldn't. And it's way early, sure. But, BT, this is what happens. Like, it's year one. So when's it going to be too late? Like, we're learning as we go. Well, it's four games into the season. Okay, well, you could kiss the idea of 60 wins goodbye. To me, that was never realistic. Are they going to be the best team in the East? I don't see that. And I wasn't sure that was going to be the case before. So I know it's very early. I'm not looking to overreact here. But they've got a long way to
go. They
do. Before we look at them as a, forget the championship.
Yeah, they do.
Stamp them as the beast of the East.
There's a lot of things with this team that I don't like here. Now, I think Mike Brown's a whole hell of a lot better than you do, but eventually we'll find out. There was a sequence last night, and this is why it's just never going to change for Carl Anthony Towns. Now, he can lock himself at a gym. Mike Brown can funnel the offense through him basically every possession. You can do whatever you want to do, but there's certain things you're either wired to compete hard, or you're not. And again, I'm reluctant to get in the weeds on one play against the Bucks in Game 4, but I have to because I think this is the problem with him. There's a sequence last night. They throw it down to the post, single coverage, right? He starts to make his move. They drop from the top of the key. Here comes the double. I forget who doubled. It was Kuzma one-on-one. Then the Bucks send the second defender. Cat's got the ball. He reads it properly. Soon as the second defender comes, he pumps it out to the perimeter. I think it may have been Brunson. Either way, he gets it out. Now the second defender who came to double goes back to where he was. Then they properly dump it back down to Karl Anthony Towns, who was one-on-one against Kyle Kuzma, who is not one, not two, not three, not four, 5 inches shorter than Karl Anthony Towns, right? And this is why points per game and even all-star berths and even to an extent sometimes like first or second or third team All-NBA, why I really don't get wrapped up in that. You have a guy who was 5 inches smaller and 50 pounds lighter pinned in the post. You got you should stick your ass in his chest and drop step and dunk in his face. What does he do? He flails, he fumbles, he falls away, he chucks it up, back rim, not even close. So, again, I just had to get, if you watch it, I actually shot like that. That's why I took some ridiculous shot there, because that's what it was. And that's him. Like the, I got to say it. He's not a dog. He's not a rot. He's not a pit bull. He's a little puppy. He's a little puppy who was 7'1", 260 with game, but at the end of the day, he's a puppy.
He's an offensive foul machine. His best asset is his shot, and he doesn't do that nearly enough, well enough. I mean, all we keep hearing about is he's the best shooting big man ever. Now, there are going to be nights where it falls, and that's great, but I want some consistency. Like, how could you justify a team scoring 45 points in the second quarter and then not beating the 20-point mark in the third and fourth?
They're inconsistent right now.
The only thing that I trusted their effort with Tibbs. With Tibbs, there was a floor. You knew you were going to get max effort, and you knew the consistency was going to be there. Now, were they going to shoot the lights out every time? No, I don't think they're a great shooting team. You know Jalen Brunson's coming to play every single night. I think Brunson's got issues with Towns, too. Now, I'm not trying to make beef up, but like you could see him trying to coach Towns up.
Yeah, they're tired of it. He's just like, yeah, he
doesn't get it.
He doesn't get after it, man.
Dude, he's for a big that plays that out of control. But this is nothing new. So people blame Tibbs for being the one that held the Knicks back. So Mike Clown comes in and is supposed to elevate this team to an offensive level. Now, I'm not going to make any decisions based off of just four games. However, they are a win-now team. This is not, well, it's year one, let's see what he could do. It's they've got to win now. They've got to win now. And all we're hearing is, well, we're learning a new system. And then we're watching it, and it looks the same to me. Hero ball, one-on-one stuff the majority of the time. Karl Anthony Towns looks the same, if not worse, than he was before. And you're right, there are going to be some great games, sure. I'm not going to be fooled by that. I don't believe that this team is good enough. I don't believe that the power tandem, the superstar tandem, is good enough. And I think they regressed as far as the head coach goes.
They're not going to win a championship with this group. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, they're just not. They will not. You can take what's said on this show, at least from my microphone. You can seal it. You can ship it and send it wherever you want. And you can bust it out in May or June whenever they get bumped if they don't make a trade, because they're just simply not going to win. Now, again, the Mike Brown, I remember saying to Sal early, maybe a week or two before the season started. Now, I didn't love this part. And I do like Mike Brown, again, a lot better than why you think he's a clown. I think he's good.
I got you.
I definitely don't think that. We'll see what his upside is here. Point being, Mike Brown said during the preseason, we're not even running plays yet. We're going to free flow. We're going to read, react. Now, I don't like that. That's too schoolyard for me. I need a little more structure.
Correct.
I'm with you there. I do. But I do think as the season unfolds that they will eventually get there. So I'm not concerned about an early loss here or early loss there. And I will grant you, and I think that you say that well, the Tom Thibodeau floor was very reassuring.
Yeah.
Very reassuring. I don't know what Mike Brown's floor is, and that's a little worrisome. I believe that in totality, from an offensive point of view, and then you mix it all together with a better bench, whatever, and a weak East, I think that the ceiling could be higher than Tom Thibodeau, but I grant you the floor could drop a level or two lower. Bottom line is this, you know, we very rarely do this with the NBA, might do it with the Yanks and Mets a little bit, certainly do it in football. It's four games in. I don't like what I see. It's less about the coach. It's much more, actually, really, it's all about the guy who some of you still think is a superstar and going to lead the Knicks along with Brunson to a championship. Newsflash, there's no shot it's going to happen. Towns is not that guy. I don't even know if the Bucks want him anymore, but if they do, and I know that's a separate topic, but they're going to eventually have to seriously re-engage Milwaukee because they're not winning with this crew.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Adam is calling from South Jersey, starting us off. What's up, Adam?
Oh, what's up? First call of the day, boys.
Let's
How we doing today?
Yeah, those Knicks, hey, bring you get up on the line first more than anybody else when we start talking Knicks, Adam. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. I didn't like this hire from Jump Street. Towns is going to regress because Mike Brown's not a taskmaster. He's not Tom Thibodeau. And the only way they could have moved on from Tom Thibodeau is if they were going to upgrade. They did not upgrade. They lateral move to a coach who does not push his players, who wants to be everyone's friend. And you got a couple of dogs on his team who are going to work on their own and don't need the motivation. But then you got guys like Towns that need to be pushed. And he's not going to be pushed by this guy. And I agree, BT. This team ain't going to win nothing. And it's not just Towns, though. You need to pull your head out of sand, brother. It's Towns and now Clown. Clown's not going to push him. He's not going to push him. He's just... He's not going to push him. That's what it comes down to.
But Adam, even with, and thanks for the call, even with Tibbs last year, BT, and this is why we came to the conclusion a year ago, like, I was not blaming Tibbs. There were others who were, yourself included, like, you just wanted to move on, whatever.
And we can't. But to be fair, and I'll let you finish, it was less about blaming Thibodeau, more about being open to what they could be without him.
All right, fair enough. Whatever the case may be, the Knicks themselves felt that they needed a different coach to get them to another level. And I understand that thought process. For me, the issue was always their stars, specifically Towns, wasn't good enough. So the hope would have been that Mike Brown would have come in and maximized what Towns can do offensively. Now, it's like, I'm not making any definitive decisions in four games. I had a belief about Mike Clown before. I have a belief after watching it for four games. There's a long way to go, but to me, it looks a lot of the same outside of people getting excited about the amount of players that he used last night. And really, last night was a rotation of nine. So, like, we're already starting to see that flower start to lose its bloom, or whatever the hell the saying goes there. The idea that they were going to be better off with Mike Clown instead of Thibodeau, to me, was faulty. But Karl Anthony Towns is what he is, and you see why now they had issues with the T-Wolves all those years in the postseason.
Okay, so one thing that Adam just said here, good call to get it going here, right? So he used the term taskmaster. I'm going to, with the exception of maybe Shaq during the Kobe period with Phil Jackson, when Shaq was, you know, Hollywooding things up and got a little heavy, whatever. And by no means am I putting Karl Anthony Towns anywhere near Shaq in terms of the NBA stratosphere of stars. But if you want to call him a star or a superstar, what superstar needs a taskmaster? Think about that. That's a contradiction, because superstars are motivated from within. Kevin Garnett, Ewing, even though Patrick fell short, Patrick gave his soul, man. It was never a lack of effort or a lack of want. Maybe it was a lack of roster around him. I mean, whether you love LeBron or don't, and I'm whatever at this point, but, you know, self-motivated guy. Kobe Bryant, the ultimate self-motivated guy. Allen Iverson never won self-motivated during the games, not necessarily practice. You get the point. If you've got to always kick a guy in the ass to get the effort to a level that is commensurate with what a champion needs to put out, good news for you. You're not a superstar. And all the things that he doesn't do well, all right? And that's why I really don't think that this is an overreaction today. I don't. Because think about what Cat doesn't do well. He doesn't make quick decisions. He's not in great shape. Him and his stupid foul still, going back to the postseason, he hasn't learned from that. Are those things going to go away in May or June? Are they going to go away suddenly because he gets 79 or 78 games under his belt? No, they're not. They are inherently within him as a player, and that's why he will never win a championship here.
Which is why I just want him to play on the perimeter. It would eliminate half the problem here. Stop. He is an offensive foul machine. Stop. Stop getting him the ball down low. He can't do it. He looks like a big man. He is a physical big man. He has no moves in the paint. He's not a prototypical big man. His best skill set, his best asset, is his ability to shoot the ball from long range. Play his ass on the perimeter. I don't know why they're not doing that. Well, and I was expecting to see more ball movement, BT.
Me too.
Bring it up, kick it around the perimeter. Let's go.
The ball movement's not what I... Now, I think it's different than last year, even though they've lost the last two, but it's not quite where I thought it would be, so I'm kind of with you there, kind of. Here's the thing, though. All right, that sounds good. Hey, Kat, plant your behind on the perimeter. You know, jack up 10 threes. You're probably at four and a half, because right. You're very good at that. And you're an asset there. Okay, fantastic. Who's rebounding and who's guarding the middle without Mitchell Robinson, who's made out of tissue paper?
Right.
It's another problem with this team.
Yeah, I mean, no bullets. Blame Tom Thibodeau. Ari is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ari?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just, I can't get my head around this. People say the Knicks have dudes, Knicks have dogs, Knicks are going to do damage.
No, people don't say that. A person says that.
Person. A cat is a pussy cat. I go meow. Every single time he touches the ball, I go meow because he's just so soft. Just unbelievable how a guy could be 7 foot tall.
Yep.
He could have pushed me up. It's unbelievable. It's really incredible. And I would hold off judgment on Brown or Clown or whatever you want to call him because it's four games. And I don't want to get creative about four games, but this for Towns is just a continuation of last year in the playoffs.
Same stuff.
It's mind numbing. Yeah. I was texting my buddies during the game. He's unwatchable. It's painful.
He bothers me. Yeah. Unwatchable. I mean, that's pushing it a step far because we're going to watch him anyway. But God, I can't remember. Well, probably Carmelo for different reasons. I was going to say, I can't remember the last Nick that frustrated me to this extent. It's the level of frustration that Karl Anthony Towns brings to me watching him play. It is through the roof. Now, listen, whether it's your child or cat, if you ask somebody to do something that they're not capable of doing, well, that's on you. You're an idiot. I mean, like, you want to ask me to dunk? I can't. You know, because I can't jump, and then I'm 6'2". All right, so I'm never going to dunk. But asking Karl Anthony Towns to play a little stronger when he's 7 feet, 260-something, that is not out of the, like, that is not crazy. And because he can't do it, or because he doesn't do it, and I still think he could do it a little bit better, that's the frustration, and it's not changing, Sal. It's not year one. It's not year two. He's almost a decade in. What are we waiting for?
But I don't get then why people would be so, like, dismissive of the impact that Mike Clown has had. Like, I know it's four games, but you're not judging it based off of just four games. The whole reason why you brought him in was to make them better offensively and maximize their potential offensively. And we haven't seen, like, there's not even a consistent level of offense yet. I'm not saying that they had to execute it at a high level consistently. I'm not even seeing the infrastructure of a different, consistent, better offense. Whereas when Tibbs first came in, the floor with those guys that had no talent outside of Julius Randle, immediately you saw it right out of the gate, like, okay, I know what this team's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing that from Brown. And maybe
you're talking about Tibbs' first team, like Noel and those guys, right? When they fall. Okay,
got it. You see the impact, and it's not just Tibbs. Like, you see it with a good coach right away. Oh, wow, okay. Now I know football, whatever it may be, I know what this team's going to be about right now. I could see the change in year one. The biggest thing that Brown had to do was get Towns to be a better, like, to maximize his ability. That to me was the number one, like the only thing that you could possibly justify in my mind moving on from Tibbs was that you got him, because Towns is now the star here with Brunson. This is it. You've got to be able to figure it out and maximize what he can do with Brunson together. And Towns, he's not that player. And I thought at least Brown would have him be more on the perimeter, ball movement, have him shooting more. It's not that.
Listen, for me, there's going to be nights where we're going to be pretty happy with this team. I'm just not taking the bait. They're not going to be a 44-win team. They're not going to be like the sixth seed. And I know, by the way, some people might think that, and that's fine, you know, because Mike Brown has never won a championship, and this team right now doesn't quite look the way we thought that they might. I still like the regular season upside for this team. My biggest gripe, yours is with the coach, mine is with the 1A star who does not look up to the task,
well, no.
I don't think that that's going to change at all.
Mine's not with the – it's not my biggest gripe. But I was saying that I would have kept Tibbs for another year so he can maximize it.
Yeah.
My issue has always been that their stars weren't good enough.
Brunson, too?
No, well, the combination of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, could Brunson be the lead dog and take it? Like, we saw them get to a point where I think that they needed to try to get a talent like Cat. He's unfortunately just not the right guy. And Brown was supposed to maximize that. And I'm not reacting to the two losses. They could be 4-0. If they look the same way, like, it's not to me just the result. It's the way that they look. I'm not seeing a difference.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I had a weird dream last night. It did involve you as well, so I do want to bring that up.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean, you know, not all dreams are of the sexual variety.
So I had a good one last night, too, actually.
Who was in it?
Can't share it. No, I did. I swear to God, I had an interesting dream. Haven't had a good dream in a while. I had a good one last night.
Mine was so really wacky. Good. Wait till you hear this one, okay. Dude. And it felt so real. Right. Anyway, so we'll get to that later on. But we start with the Knicks. You know, the other thing about the Knicks, and you could pick on Towns, and I could say, well, I think it's Mike Clown. I don't think he's any good. It's a lot of different reasons to why we wouldn't believe in the Knicks as a championship team. But forget about championship team. Like, I don't even think they're going to represent the East in the finals. And that's what a lot of people thought, including Reggie Miller last night. Of course, he goes out there and says that, and then the Knicks lay an egg. Like, do you think they have enough shooters? I don't see it. For a team that's supposed to be a high-octane offense, I don't think they have consistent enough shooters on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson's good, but he's a volume guy. But he's obviously good. OG and Bridges from the corner, really good.
Okay,
I wouldn't mind a sniper up top. I feel you on that. I think they're a little light in the shoot. Well, DiVincenzo would have fit in great with this team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys coming off the bench. Now, Kolvik's going to be a 12 or 13 minute a game guy.
I mean, he's going to be really a non-factor.
I like him. I just don't like him on defense. I think he's going to facilitate and he's going to shoot okay. But I think that you look at their other players that are going to be in the rotation. Are fairly, they're either average or just not much of a threat from behind the arc. So I don't think that that's wrong. I think they could use one more.
Well, for a team that is, I mean, think about it. For a team that has the contracts doled out the way that they do, for a team that is supposed to be an offensive team, like, I feel like they're just missing one lethal shooter. You look at the Celtics and they've got guys. You look at the Cavs, they got guys. Like, all these teams, it feels like, has at least one guy that is known for just being an elite shooter. Whereas with the Knicks, and I love, like I told you, I wouldn't trade Brunson for anybody. I just love everything about him. And I'm not just talking about his shot. You don't need great shooters everywhere. Brunson is a great scorer, and he's a good enough shooter. But where are the other shooters? And that's why I say using Towns on the perimeter could help with that. Yes, Anunoby and Bridges, when they're on.
Deuce, when he's healthy.
Okay, I mean, they do miss him. Mm-hmm. I know he's been out a little bit, so that'll help getting him back in there. And Yabusele can shoot, I guess, a little bit. He's been off to a rough start. I just don't think they have enough. You know, it's the same thing. Josh Hart, you know, Shamet. Come on, dude. Like, they just don't have the one guy who you're like, no matter what, okay, open three, he's going to hit it the majority of the time.
Well, think about this. And at big picture, before we get back to the calls, I mean, generally, you try to get an assessment of a team. And I'm not saying that these components don't matter. Certainly, you want to talk about depth, and you want to talk about rebounding and defense and shooting and experience and all the things that obviously matter in team building. But, you know, the lack of shooters is lower on the list for me, thinking of, not that I don't want them, don't get me wrong, but like when I'm looking at, all right, can this team win a championship? I really look at, do they have a duo that is championship worthy? And the biggest problem for this team is that I don't think that they have that.
But they've never had that.
I know.
Like they didn't have it last year. They changed the coach. And now, again, we're saying the same thing. So really, what's the difference? Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Lamar is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you, brother. Go ahead.
I was just calling because I don't think I love the show, by the way, but I don't think you guys are wrong as far as being optimistic about the platform that we see from Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. But do you guys think it would be good for us to start the game off kind of like spoon feeding Karl Anthony Towns, like easy shots by the rim? Because it feels like 18 possessions will go by and he doesn't touch it. It feels like he's a sleepwalker when the game starts. Like he's not like a heavily motivated like Giannis when he starts the game. And I feel like we need to be like kind of make him like the hub to start because he's kind of like not even involved until like the second quarter or like the end of the first.
I mean, Giannis's motor is just very different. And you're interesting.
Very high, right.
It's very high. Right. It's the exact opposite of Cat, who's basically, you know, he's a Ferrari and Cat's training wheels, basically. It's a different level of intensity and edge. I think that I can answer that both ways. I can really see both sides. So let's take Cat and what he just brought up. Would it be advantageous to engage him early and funnel the offense through him and get him going? Yeah, I mean, that's basic. But then the other thing could be said as well, you know, Cat along with Brunson are focal points of the opposing defenses, so why not let some of the other guys, while they're shading more attention in the direction of Brunson and Cat, why not let them eat to start and then let Cat and Brunson jump in a little bit later?
I'm not looking to spoon feed anybody, especially if it's a top star. Like, dude, go get yours. Spoon feed you. Go get it. You're a big boy, go get it. Now, what I would do, and I've said this dating back to last year after watching Towns for a full season or midway through last year, like, I just don't think he's got an inside game. I don't know how anybody could watch basketball and think that Karl Anthony Towns has an efficient inside game. Now, there have been times where he's gotten tough buckets, and I like that. Okay, good. It's not like he can never do it. Mm-hmm. He just can't do it consistently at all. The one thing that's consistent about his inside game is the offensive fouls. He's sloppy. He's a turnover waiting to happen. He's an offensive foul machine. So why wouldn't you just want to put him on the perimeter, which could maybe clean up or unclog the middle? I thought that's what the Knicks were going to be anyway. A little drive and kick and move the ball around and have it end up in Karl Anthony Towns' hands, have him shoot. I don't care if he starts 0-for-4. Continue to shoot from 3 because that, to me, is his greatest asset. And they seem hell-bent on trying to do both when clearly, to me at least, one is not working. He is just not an efficient or effective inside player on a consistent basis at all.
He's a modern big, is what he is. And most of the big men today, and you know, for those of us who remember the old days, you know, we get it, and the evolution of the game is amazing. The athleticism, the ability to shoot from long range. But the modern big, and when you say he's a modern big, that's a compliment, but it's also not. Because what you can't do is just dump it to him 3 feet, to your point, 3 feet away from the rim, and say, go get something. Because it's all arms flailing like a baby deer on skates. He does not have that. And I said the same thing in the playoffs, and I said the same thing during the regular season. I didn't watch him every night in Minnesota, but if I did, I would be saying the same thing the first 7 or 8 years of his career. So, like, he scores inside when he almost gets the ball, like, foul line extended, pump fake, and then has momentum, and then he still double pumps off the window, and it still looks a little wacky. No, he does not have that repertoire. He just doesn't.
Like, I'd rather have Porzingis than Karl-Anthony Towns all day long. I think they're a little different skill set. Obviously, Porzingis isn't built the size that Karl Anthony Towns, meaning like the bulk of his arms and shoulders, like that strength.
That sheer,
Well, he's not going to power guys down, but at least I know he could be an effective player on the perimeter or even above the free throw line. Like, Porzingis, to me, is at least consistent, and you know his base. He's not going to be out of control to the level that Kat is. What is Kat? Like, what is he? If you watch him, BT, you tell me what you think Karl Anthony Towns' strengths are.
I think he's an elite shooter for a big. I think that he is soft. I think that he is a below-average athlete that's offensively and also obviously doing anything on defense. I think that he's intermittently engaged. To me, he's a guy who plays downhill. And this always bothers me about athletes. Like, there are a lot of athletes, when things are going well, and you're hitting threes, and you're getting N1s, and you're getting dunks, and, yeah, flexing, here we go, yeah. Okay, what do you do in a half-court game where a possession here, possession there matters? Do you trust that guy to make a move that you trust where he's going to protect the basketball? And I don't. So all those things I said, really, I keep coming. He's very talented. I want to make sure we don't lose sight of that. We all know that. But he is careless with the ball, and he's weak, physically weak for somebody who's 270 pounds.
And to me, it's one thing. You mentioned it. He is a big who can shoot. I'm going to try to maximize that. Now, maybe Mike Clown is waiting for Mitch Robinson. Yeah, because would make sense. Maybe. You have Mitch play in the middle. You don't have to worry about the rebounds and defense. And Kat plays on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but guess what? Tom Thibodeau didn't have Mitch Robinson at all last year.
Yeah.
Until the end. So, like,
yeah,
it's the same. And now you're relying on a guy who, Mitch, is never healthy, and even when he is, he has zero offensive game.
And it also doesn't solve the issues at the end of games there, right? Because Mitch Robinson, hack a Mitch, right? He's still going to shoot 40% for the stripe, which means he's on the bench, which means at some point, you know, with time ticking inside of a minute or two, one or two possession game, Karl Anthony Towns will have the ball in the post, and I don't trust him.
Steve is calling from New Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you?
How are you?
Good. I was a Tibbs fan, but I did feel like they needed to go in a different direction. I thought things got stale. You guys make some good points where there's a floor with Tibbs that you always can expect. And I think we're a little worried with Brown that things might get a little softer. But Towns, I think as long as he is here, is going to frustrate us. It's his style. He's a finesse big. But my point really is, Sal, I know you've worked your butt off to get where you are in this medium, and I give you respect and credit for that. But you to denigrate right away after four games, you're calling an NBA coach clown. It just comes off a real unprofessional. I'm not being holier and Mr. Purist or whatever, but just, I don't know, it just sounds really weak, and that sounds just like a punk move.
Well,
Mike Clown after four games.
Right.
Steve,
you're entitled to your opinion, and we respect that, and thank you for the call. If you listened to the show and you said that you did, then you know that I was not a fan of the Mike Brown hiring to begin with. The reason why I say Mike Clown is, and do the math, Steve, here. First of all, we're entertainers. His last name rhymes with clown. So it's not, and I even said, like, he's not trying to be disrespectful, and I know that it is. I don't care what you think. I'm going to call him Mike Clown because I don't think he's a good head coach. The bare minimum for me, BT, to be a good head coach, you have to have some kind of structure when you take over. And Mike Clown is just like, hey, look at me. I'm going to have fun with the media. And by the way, his former players have said a lot worse than what I said. They've called him a lot worse than me just joking around about his last name, calling him Mike Clown. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He seems like a guy you'd like to go hang out with.
Maybe. I think sometimes it's too nice, which is part of the problem. We played the Matt Barnes sound last week.
Okay.
But a little bit too nice.
So that's part of my issue. That's why I call him a clown, because I can't take him seriously when you're too nice or you don't have the structure. And again, I'm not making just a decision on four games. It's coming into the season. I didn't believe in this. And I'm watching this team, and they look the same to me. If anything, even worse, because they lack structure.
I knew he wasn't going to run a tight ship. Like, I knew that. And I also think he's a really, really good offensive mind. Now, maybe what I did was I gave too much trust in the internal leadership of the Knick players to help maybe navigate some of his softness. Well, and maybe that still comes to fruition. You get Mitch back, you play a little tougher, a little more defense. But if Karl Anthony Towns is not engaged physically and emotionally, then the season's shot. And while it's only four games, we're seeing signs he's not engaged emotionally or physically. That's an early read, but that could be a fatal issue.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one thing, I was just looking at the Knicks schedule. So they have another road game on Friday night. They'll be in Chicago. Then, now remember too, when we talk about the Knicks, like, people are so sensitive. I hate the fact that we actually have to preface almost everything we say with, like, we understand they're going to be okay. They're still going to be a playoff team and they're going to win a bunch of games and it's much better than anything that it's been for the last 20 years or whatever it may be. Like, we get it. I mean, good God, stop being so sensitive. Even with the Mike Clown thing, like, it's entertainment. I'm joking around. Don't take it personally. Or if Brown has a problem personally, he can call me up and then we'll discuss it. And I'll tell him why I think he's a clown.
Just like Boone with the data applicator.
That's exactly right. Like, come on,
dude.
He'll
find you.
Good God. Yeah, exactly right. We're just having fun. But anyway, the Knicks should, like, whatever happens Friday against the Bulls, okay, on the
Where's
road.
That game? Is that here or there?
No, that's what I'm saying. So that one's there. They have one more game on the road in Chicago.
And they're playing a little bit better than I thought they would be. It's early. All right.
And
what else?
And by the way, the Sixers are good. Don't look now, but all of a sudden the Sixers have been playing
I don't
well.
Like them, but I know they're playing well.
VJ Edgecombe legit.
Yes.
I mean, they've got some weapons there.
Maxie's a beast.
Yeah. Anyway, so then the Knicks after that, dude, they have 7 home games in a row.
Wow.
Isn't that a lot?
That's a lot. That's
so
a
November,
long run.
Home against the Bulls, Washington, Minnesota, Brooklyn, Memphis, Orlando, and then Miami.
Okay.
That is a, I mean, that's a long, so next month, 9 of their, 10, 11, 12, 13, 9 of their 14 are at home. So you would expect their record to be, like, I mean, look, if they're going to win 50-something games, they're going to have to get fat at home, and you know, like the team that could play well at home. And I'm not just basing it off of the results. My thing is, I was hoping to see it look different. I know it's only 4 games. I just have not seen that difference yet.
Yeah, and I'm just more concerned with Karl Anthony Towns. The story that came out over the summer, like, the Knicks and the Bucks engaged, but the Knicks weren't willing to part with certain things, and we never really found out what it was. I'd love to know. And I'm not saying you call them today and say, hey, listen, whatever we had on the table or potentially on the table over the summer, here's, let me add this and that to sweeten the pot. But, you know, the fact that the Knicks were willing to, and you'd have to think that Towns to match the money was involved in that conversation, that they were thinking that back then, like everything that I've said today, and it's definitely not personal, but I'll stand by every word. They're just not going to win with him, man. And he is soft. He's too soft for me. So they know that. If I know that, they know that. And they are going to, at some point this year, be met with a very critical pivot point where I think the Bucks cool down. I know the Bucks are playing well now, maybe a little bit over their heads. When they cool down and other teams start calling the Bucks, and the Knicks will have to make a decision, how aggressive do we get to get a give up? What do we give up aggressively to get Giannis? And I hope they make the right decision, because if they don't, they're not going to win.
And even with Giannis, now I'm not saying you wouldn't do that, and that's a whole nother conversation, really a whole nother show or whatever. It's going to just open up, like, it takes away the focus from Towns.
For sure.
And Brown, like, you worry about Giannis, who it might not be realistic. As a matter of fact, Hoff, can you look? I didn't see if he spoke after the game.
He did.
Okay, can you find what Giannis said after the game about, because I thought I saw it when I was coming on the train.
Perfect answer,
but
by the
way. I couldn't listen to it. I want to see, find what Giannis said about being the idea that, you know, the rumors about what the Knicks or whatever. What I was going to say is, even if you add Giannis, now obviously you do it. I would do that. We said this before the season started. I don't think the Knicks have enough shooters, and we don't even know what's going the other way. Like, Cat, forget about. You're probably going to have to give up Deuce. You're probably going to have to give up one of Anunoby and Bridges.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
you are.
So
you
does
are.
That leave you with enough shooters to maximize the pieces around now Giannis and Brunson? Yes, scoring-wise, sure, but Brunson's game is also majority inside. The footwork and all that stuff. Getting
the mid-ranges.
The rim.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Right.
A little bit of everything.
Giannis is obviously attacking the rim, which he's a freak at.
Coast to coast.
They would need at least one lethal shooter to complement those two plus whichever one stays out of Bridges and Anunoby.
I think that's the easiest thing to get. Now, not tonight. You're not going to have it tonight. You're not going to have it tomorrow. But you start getting to the point in the season where, you know, teams really know they're out of it. There's guys, there's buyouts, there's veterans who have been on good teams who all they could do is shoot and have very specific, maybe even a big, if you have to part with Mitch, whatever. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Like, filling out the back of the roster with good role players, I wouldn't worry about that at all. I think it's actually pretty easy.
All right, let's listen to what Giannis said after the game about the Knicks rumors. Go ahead, Off.
Yeah, Giannis, it was going back to the ESPN report from earlier this month, part of it was that if you were traded, you'd prefer to go to the Knicks.
Who said that?
We said that.
I was wondering if that is true, and if it is or it's not. Okay.
I don't remember that. Right now, I'm here representing my team, and that's it. We beat the Knicks. So doesn't really matter what matters right now. We have a game 2 days against Golden State. Try to stay locked in and get 2-0. But I didn't read that article. Try to stay away from all that rumors and, I don't know how you call it, speculations and trade and all this. Doesn't concern me one bit. I try to involve myself and try to help my team win games.
It was not a denial.
No, it was a perfect answer. You kind of disarm people. If you lean into it, it's over. You complicate your world. If you completely denounce it, well, now somebody's going to go back and pull something up. There was a report, I believe 100%, that he was more than ready to leave Milwaukee. No doubt in my mind.
Right, but the key part was that he wanted to go to the Knicks.
Yes, yeah, I believe that too.
So me too, but that's a huge, huge thing here. So he could say, well, I don't pay attention to the rumors that I'm here right now. We're beating the Knicks. But he did not deny those reports. And one would believe that if things, to your point, do start to go sideways a little bit in Milwaukee, and he does start to drop the hammer and force his way, I could clearly see a path that the Knicks would end up with Giannis.
So do I, and so can I. And, you know, talk about what you'd have to give up to get him, which would be a King's ransom, and they don't have a lot of first round picks because of the Bridges trade. You know, there's something to be said that we can't omit here. If he is hell-bent on getting to New York at some point during the season, and I think that unless they just have a very, very surprisingly good season, like good season, then they'll probably be happy and stay there and not really, you know, rattle the cage. But he's always talked about the demographics of the city, the diversity, very high population of Greeks. So I think that will be very appealing to him. But if he plays his cards right privately, because he's not going to rattle it publicly, as I said, and he tells the Bucks, I'm not going anywhere but the Knicks.
Right.
Well, then the Knicks don't have to give up 100 cents on the dollar or 120 overpay. You know, if you have a deal that is slightly better with the Hawks, and he's like, I'm not going there. There's no way I'm going there. Well, I'm going to make life. It's not happening. Like, he really does control it when you think about the destination. That's one thing that's changed a lot in the NBA last 10, 12, 15 years.
Well, Carmelo controlled it too. Knicks still had to give up more than they would have liked. Remember, Dolan stepped in. They ended up giving up a little bit more.
But that was idiocy. Yeah. That was Dolan being a clown. Now I'll use the word clown of an owner and stepping out of his boundaries and not knowing how to do business and getting a little petulant and jumping the gun. They didn't have to do that. They chose to give up all those pieces because Dolan was getting a little frisky.
By the way, what's worse, calling Mike Brown Mike Clown or calling Cat Anthony Carl Anthony Towns basically a...
I'm not calling him that.
No, I'm not saying you are. You're calling him soft.
I'm calling him soft.
Man,
I'm stopping there.
We've all called him soft. Called up before, called him a pussycat.
I'm
just saying,
what's worse?
Yeah, come on, dude. Lighten up a little bit. Let's not take it so seriously.
I'm trying to... Yeah, I hear you. I'm trying to actually think what is worse. I would say... that's a tough one because I think when you start to denigrate somebody's manhood...
Right.
That's worse.
Right.
So I would have to think it's Towns.
Plus, Mike Clown is funnier. Like, it just fits.
Hey, Mike Clown's got a couple of Coach of the Year awards,
can
man.
Can you see him with the red nose on? Maybe, hey, I got an idea. Halloween.
He is happy. He does have a broad smile. Mike Clown, come on, dude, stop.
He's had to have dressed like a clown at some point in his life, no? Mike Clown, it's a perfect fit. Oh, who are you today, Coach? I'm Mike Clown.
You're an idiot, man.
BT and Sal, the Fan Warrior calls when we get back. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.